everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host again for this week, and I will be joined, as normal, by my co-host, Mr. Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker, and a very special guest. This week's special guest is none other than Mr. Chris Burkhart. Now, Chris is currently the executive director of school nutrition for the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. Chris has more than 29 years of experience in food service, and 23 of those years being specifically in school nutrition. Now, Chris has also received the Director of the Year Award two times, as well as the School Nutrition Foundation Heroes Award and a FAME Award. Chris is also noted as the Food Service Director Magazine's Top 10 Influencers of the Industry back in 2015. Now, on top of that, Chris has given to this industry in so many different ways. And most recently, Chris has served as the Secretary Treasurer, Vice President, President-elect, and President of the School Nutrition Association of Ohio, and just completed his term on the SNA National Public Policy and Legislation Committee. Now, his most meaningful accomplishment, according to him, is becoming the president of Reach Out Lakota, which is a local food pantry in Westchester, Ohio. There, he brought fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as nutritional educational programs and culinary technique skills to low-income families. Now, on top of that, Chris is an avid cyclist. He also loves running, hiking, kayaking, and traveling the world. And we're going to find out a little bit more about some of his other passions here on the show today. So without further ado, let's meet our guests. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to be here, Wes. And I'm just so excited to have Chris on the show because, you know, I've known you for quite some time. And you know, you and I share something, and I think you do such a great job of demonstrating it to your staff and to the people at SNA at the various association meetings, is you really love what you do, don't you? You really love what you do, and you really love the people that you do it with. And I can just see that across you. Every time I see you interact with people at any kind of meeting, that just is, it's so evident. It just oozes from you that you really are in love with what you're doing.
Yeah. I learned early on that if you love what you're doing, you never have to work a day in your life. And this has truly been my life's passion, and I love doing it. So to me, it's not work. It's just fun. And I love the people that we do it with, and, you know, from manufacturers to school staff to the children that we serve. It is a bundle of joy.
Well, I got to say this, every time I see you, I'm inspired. And I'm inspired by your attitude and by your smile and by how I see you interacting with your people. And I know that you inspire people way beyond what you know. And I just want to tell you, I really appreciate that on behalf of everybody you've ever done that for, because it has certainly done that for me.
Well, thank you. It's humbling to hear that. And I appreciate that. Appreciate it a lot.
Now, Chris, you're very involved in the School Nutrition Association, and I think most people that are watching this show that also are involved are going to recognize your face and know instantly, like Bart said, who you are, because you are a very recognizable person in the industry. But for those of you know, the folks out there that may not know who you are, may not be involved in School Nutrition Association, I'd love for them to get to know you just a little bit better. So just to kind of kick things off, now I said in your bio or in the intro that I did for you that a couple of the things you mentioned to us earlier that you're very passionate about is cycling, running, hiking, kayaking, and ultimately traveling all over the world. But what's something that you're just absolutely obsessed with right now?
Right now I'm obsessed with photography. And I've been a photographer my whole life, but I just got into nature photography and have been chasing around owls of all things. You know, we've been hiking a lot, and now we're combining two of my passions, hiking along with photography, and we've become bird watchers, my wife and I. So so that's something that is taking up a lot of the time that I'm not dealing with school nutrition side of things. Trying to get out and enjoy nature and hiking and trying to stay fit and looking at photography as well.
Well, I got to tell you something, Chris, you need to make a trip down here to Arizona, because I've got a family of Western screech owls living in my carport. And yeah, and there's two big ones, and every year for the last 3 years, we've had those owls come to our house, and I've got to believe there's a nest somewhere in our carport. We just can't find it because eventually there'll be a couple of babies pop up. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you mentioned that. I actually have been trying to get into photography myself. I bought my first actual photography camera about, I guess, 4 or 5 months ago, and have been carrying it all over the place. And, you know, the most interesting thing that I noticed with trying to get into photography myself was the difficulty of grabbing the camera versus grabbing what you normally go to, which is your cell phone, which is, you know, I've just had gotten in my mind for so long, you know, just grab my phone real fast and take a picture. But the quality of the pictures and what you can actually capture and create with a camera is something really cool. So I think that's a really cool new passion and obsession that you've got there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for someone like myself who has a lot of ADD and ADHD. Doing things simultaneously while hiking, you know, up a mountain and taking photographs at the same time, adds a different complexity to both sports, yeah. If you will.
Yeah. Now, for the people that do know you in SNA, I think that they will understand what I'm about to say in this next question. But I think it's pretty fair to say that you're kind of like the Craig Sager of the School Nutrition Association. And if you don't know who Craig Sager is, he is a famed announcer for the NBA who is known for his suits that he wears and his cool ties and very colorful suits. And you kind of have an affiliation for the cool suits and things of that nature at the School Nutrition Association conferences. And I'm just curious, if you had your own intro music, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. I would probably say, I'm going to throw back to the 80s here. It's a song by Poison called Ride the Wind. For two reasons. One is kind of going with the cycling aspect of it, but also it's a song about being in the moment and being present during the moment and not letting everything around you, you know, affect what you're doing and being present. And I think that's all about what we should be doing right now is being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bart, you speak a lot from the stage, too. I have to ask, what would your intro music be, just out of curiosity?
What is that song from Trolls with Justin Timberlake? I can't remember what it's called.
I've Got the Feeling.
I got the feeling. That's it, because yeah. I just love that song. And I actually play that song a lot of times when I speak. I love that. That's a happy song.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, you have as we all heard in your kind of introduction in your bio, have a very esteemed career. You have been given so many different awards and recognizations over the years. Who has been one of the biggest influences in your life and in your career that has really inspired you and led to all of your accomplishments?
You know, I don't think it's ever been any one person throughout my career. I think it's been the teams that I've been associated with. You know, obviously, if his team is doing what they're supposed to do, we're achieving more together. And, you know, although I'm the leader of the team at times, you know, it's the coach and the players coming together to you know, win the game. And so I look at, you know, each one of my teams that I've led along the way. As being my influencers, the folks who make me better, who, you know, sometimes point out where I have flaws or what I need to work on and you know, makes me a better person. With that, when I was at Lakota Local Schools, I had some great folks around me, my boss, Chris Passage, and the director of facilities, Lance Perry. The three of us got together every Friday and had lunch. And I really cherish that time because that was a time where we could get together and I'm going to call it dream at this point. We could dream about what would, you know, schools K-12 look like in a perfect world from, you know, a couple of different standpoints. So we got it from the operations standpoint, from a facility standpoint, and from a food standpoint. And I think that challenged me a little bit, made me think outside the box and, you know, no answer was wrong, and it was a little bit of the camaraderie where, you may have a stupid answer, but no one's going to call it stupid. And we had a lot of fun. And I think that was one of the times that actually made me think about what's possible.
Now, I got a question from a lady not too very long ago, sent me an email asking me for some resources and some tools for some new directors. And Chris, don't you think sometimes that new directors are sometimes a little reluctant to understand just what a wealth of wisdom and information they have around them, not just in the child nutrition area, but also in their administration? Now, sometimes we feel like we've got to kind of do it on our own. And there's a lot of people out there that if you're just willing to ask the possibly stupid question, that there's just so much you can learn from other people.
Absolutely. And there is no child nutrition manual. There is no K how to deal with K-12 school district manual. So a lot of us through the years have tried to struggle through and learn it on ourselves. And if you're lucky, you've got a great mentor that you can follow along the way. But you're 100% correct. It's a lot of new folks have to kind of trudge their way, but there is a great network, and I'll look back to SNA and that's where I got a lot of my mentorship, if you will, in K-12 and discussion and looking forward to how can we make K-12 food service better or move it forward to not look like school meals anymore.
Yeah, and there's not a child nutrition director in America with any experience that would not welcome a phone call from a newbie asking for help. I don't know anybody that would. This is one of the most given groups of people that I've ever had the pleasure to work with.
Absolutely. And whenever I go to a conference, I try to put the new folks who I meet into my phone, and any given point, I can pick up the phone and scroll through my contacts and call someone, and every single time on the other end, someone picks up the phone and says, "How can I help?" And if they don't know the answer, they've got a contact, and they give you who you can contact to get the information. So we have a great network of folks out there. Sometimes I just don't think we utilize it enough, and I'm guilty of that just as much as everyone. But yeah, did anyone watching or listening, reach out and have that conversation.
Now we're headed into what is likely to be a very different school year from years in the past. What are a couple of things that you're most excited about and opportunities maybe that are on the horizon for you?
I thrive by new endeavors, if you will, and new things. So obviously this is new to all of us, and so I'm both optimistic that we will come out victorious on the other side of making sure that we're feeding every single child that we can possibly feed who needs that nourishment through the day. But getting through both the regulatory side as well as the operational side, sometimes those things run parallel, and they don't run perpendicular to each other at any point in time. So the challenge is going to be how do we serve students in 2020, 2021 with the regulations and doing it safely with everything going around with COVID.
It's always funny to me when people ask me what I do, and then I tell them, well, I work with school nutrition departments specifically, and they say, oh, well, it must be nice because you get the summer off. And I always have to laugh because I find that
That's
hilarious
funny.
because as
It
you both know, the summer is some of the busiest months of the entire school year for us because we're looking at budgets and we're trying to figure out what this upcoming year is going to look like for us. And I'm just wondering, from an advice standpoint for a child nutrition director that's assessing where they're at and looking at this upcoming school year's budget, what type of things would you suggest to a child nutrition director that's planning at this moment for next year and kind of the unknown that we're looking at?
So I've sat down with my staff a couple of times so far, and we are, looking at this next school year, and we don't know what it looks like. But what we're doing is we're putting a couple of different plans in place, a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. And so depending on what the school year does look like, we've got a couple of different options. As we are navigating through that, we are finding that, yeah, I think we're no matter which option we go with, we're going to have to have all of our meals mobile, whether that's delivering to a classroom, whether that is students coming down and taking them with them, or whether that's them coming to a side door at the school and taking the meal home with them so they can learn at home on the computer. And so we quickly realized that every one of those solutions requires us to make our meals mobile. Couple that with the fact that, most restaurants across the country have moved to a takeout service. So paper and plastic is at a high demand right now. I'm telling folks right now, if you don't start making your decisions on what you're going to do now, if you wait until August or September, you may not have that option available to you. So I'm really telling everyone right now, look ahead, plan ahead, and that will save you lots of heartaches, headaches, and maybe even tears later on as the school year starts. And also, having those conversations with our manufacturers, our distributors, what we're planning on doing. And communication's got to be a two-way street. So manufacturers telling us what's available and us telling manufacturers what we plan on doing. So communication is key, and having at least one, if not multiple plans ready for whatever life throws at us come August or September.
What about like PPE equipment? I heard you mention disposable trays and things of that nature. What about personal protective equipment or equipment that's going to be used outside of just for production purposes that maybe you haven't used in the past that you're looking at?
Yeah, so when on March 16th, when we made the switch to our different feeding model, we had a hard time getting masks. We had a hard time getting hand sanitizer. I think we placed 8 or 9 orders before we actually had one that someone could actually fulfill and give us what we needed. So we're trying to order those items now for the start of school year. But I think the biggest thing that's going to change from a PPE standpoint that I think folks are not thinking of right now is signage and communication. You go to even the grocery store or the drugstore today, and there's signage on the floor that you're 6 feet apart, and there's signage on the wall, and there's signage all over the place talking about what different regulations from city to city or county to county, and in our situation, school to school, and what that's going to look like. So really, from a PPE, I'm looking at signage and communication as being a big expense and being a big drain on not only our budget, but also, time and effort in getting that information out.
Now, I've seen a lot of stuff in my email thread over the past couple of days, specifically announcements about additional funding for this upcoming year from USDA. What's one thing that you would ask USDA going into the beginning of the school year?
Okay, so you brought up funding, so that's obviously number one. And right now there's no mechanism to serve kids who are both in school learning and out of school learning, meaning at home or virtual learning. So I think that's those two things wrapped together is the number one. And number two, I think it's relaxing the meal pattern regulations for this upcoming school year. Not worrying so much about sodium and vegetable subgroups. We just want to feed kids, and putting those burdens on us to make sure that we're meeting all those regulations is really going to take away from our core mission. Not that those things are not important, but we're hearing about food availability that is coming into play, and we want to put together the best meals that students want to eat. And in this coming year, it's going to be even more difficult in the situations that we're going to be put in, and having everything be mobile, and obviously reducing a lot of our entrees and vegetables, and just having grab-and-go items available. So what I would ask USDA to do is really look at the regulations that they really want to stand behind to help us get through this next year and help us give us a waiver on some of those others that, yes, they're important in a regular school year, but we really need to feed kids the upcoming year. And looking at some of those vegetable subgroups, and you're looking at, how do you package some of those in a takeaway that's really going to meet the regulations and give kids a takeout option that they're actually going to eat.
So, you mentioned waivers, and I know that they've extended that, they extended the single summer waiver into August and
Correct.
the ability to feed that way. How, ha, as a public policy, I haven't served on that committee. I know you don't have a crystal ball, nobody does, but what's your gut on the whether the USDA is possibly going to extend that maybe to the end of the year or maybe to the end of the school year even? So that gives the districts more flexibility because, like you're saying, I've talked to districts that they're going to be serving in the cafeteria. They're going to serve in the cafeteria. They've got a multi-purpose room. They're going to spread the kids out. They're going to bring them to the cafeteria in shifts and spread them out. But I've talked to a lot of school districts that are going to have this quasi classroom, online, staggered day thing, and that's going to drastically affect the income, the revenue of the child nutrition departments, if something like that's not done, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And right now there is no mechanism to serve both kids on a virtual learning platform as well as, in a brick and mortar school. And so I don't know how USDA could not extend that. I think that right now they're being cautious and waiting to see what's coming up between now and August. But I truly think that they will extend a lot of the waivers that are happening now into the school year to help out school districts. Again, as you say, it's going to be a mixed model, not only within school districts but also within schools. And schools are not a one size fits all model, and nor can food and food distribution be a one size fits all model for even a school district of our size of 93 buildings.
How do you think the effect the recent USDA memo that came out last week, or in the last few days, that talked about the way they're going to figure your funding for this year by comparing it to last year and using that? I'm not really clear on what the algorithm is going to be, but because I read the memo twice and I got to call somebody because somebody please give me the Cliff Note version of this. But how do you see that being advantageous for school districts?
Absolutely, because us, like most districts across the country, when our schools shut down, we continued to pay employees. And most of us are losing millions of dollars. And paying the employees is the right thing to do, and it also comes at a cost. And so that money's got to come from somewhere. Our district, alone is probably going to lose somewhere in the range of, $2.5 to $3.5 million, just from March to the end of the school year. And this upcoming school year, even if we start to serve half of our population, we still have that expense of the employees, and our overhead expense becomes higher. And so we've got to balance it out somehow. So I thank USDA for looking at it. It'd be great to have, as you say, more concrete numbers and be able to know what that means to each school district, so we can plan a little bit more. But I know that there's all kinds of issues that USDA and legislators are dealing with right now. So I think we have a little time, but by mid-July, I hope that we have some concrete answers as far as what everything looks like. And I know here in Ohio, our governor this week is supposed to tell us, what the school year start date looks like. Obviously, it's going to be different from district to district, but we hope to get that information this week on, what those parameters are going to look like.
So, Chris, the relationship between industry and school nutrition authorities has always been one that has greatly been valued over the years. How do you see that relationship evolving in this upcoming school year? And what type of advice would you give to industry partners headed into this year?
So I think we've already seen how the relationship has changed to a virtual one over the past couple of months. We're actually trying product and meeting with manufacturers and brokers via Zoom and Skype and Microsoft Teams and you know the like. And it has been a very different type of meeting when you're trying product or looking at products virtually versus having that person across the table from you with samples. So it's our new normal, if you will. We're all doing it, and I think that's going to continue significantly into the 2020-2021 school year. Advice I would give everyone is over communicate at this point. We don't know, meaning school nutrition professionals don't know what manufacturers have because in some situations we didn't need the products in the past. For example, I know here in Cleveland we got away from pre-wrapped products and now we're taking a 180 degree turn and we're going back to pre-wrapped products. So I don't know what's actually out there. And so we've been reaching out to manufacturers and brokers and distributors and saying, what do you have? What can we get? So from our standpoint, it's directors reaching out to industry and asking, what do you have? And then from industry reaching out to directors and saying, here's what I've got. I would say right now it's not the time for, sales, if you will. I think this is the time right now that everyone's got a lot on their plate. And so information right now is best. I would say sales are going to come. I don't think that there's a need for sales calls as we've had in the past. But I think that communication between both sides has never been more important than it is now. We're going to be changing, part of our menu. We're changing our mode of service. Manufacturers don't know what that means from Cleveland to Columbus to Cincinnati, and how the three of us in the major three major school districts in Ohio are going to operate. So, that's a communication piece that we need to have back and forth and to over communicate. And then I'm going to ask manufacturers and brokers and other industry partners to be the conduit to tell us as food service directors what's working in other places and what do they see happening. We're not getting out of our four walls of our school district right now. We're not traveling. But a manufacturer or broker industry may be having three or four Zoom calls and hearing something and connecting those dots, if you will, is going to be a great resource for district directors. So, if you're on the industry side, be that sponge for us on your side and help us by giving us any information you have, because at the end of the day, it's not about reinventing the wheel. We're going to rise together, we're going to fall together. So if we have the information together on what's working and moving forward in that realm, that's helping everyone. So I look forward again to the great partnership that we've had in the past and continuing that partnership into the next school year.
I could not emphasize that more because I've been in the child nutrition industry for 25 years, but I've been on the vendor side, on the industry side, and on the sales side. And I do not talk to people that really want to get they want to sell new accounts, they want to get new business, that kind of thing. But I couldn't agree with you more that this is not the time to get out and be making sales calls. This is a time, what we've done on the school food handler side is we've tried to just be a resource. We've tried to get information out, give things away that would help. Hope, obviously the hope is that one day we might be able to that might be able to come back to us in a good way. But this is a time to give because you're right. There is so much uncertainty. And if you're in district, if you're in, I can't tell you how many times I've been in District A and then call up District B and they ask me, what are they doing in District A? And if you can share those things, you can be a great resource, and 6 months, a year down the road, that could be something that could be a relationship you could go and maybe reap a little bit of sales from, but now's not the time.
I agree 100%, and we are a great team, industry and school food professionals, and this is the time that we need each other more than ever. and banding together to get over the hurdles that are going to be, this next school year. And we can do it. I know we
Absolutely.
can.
Well, in the last couple of minutes here, I do want to touch on one last topic. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation right now about civil rights, and I think that that conversation is something that we are definitely going to be seeing in this upcoming school year amongst our staff and our peers. What do you think our responsibility is in child nutrition and beyond to promote inclusion and meaningful discussions around unconscious bias that exist?
Yeah, it's a conversation that's well overdue. For School of Nutrition Industry Conference last year, SNA brought in Joe Gerstand to talk about diversity and inclusion, and it's a conversation that we are having now. But I think we should have had the conversation a long time ago. But his message is one that I think everyone needs to understand, and the quote is basically, "Unless you consciously include everyone, you will unconsciously exclude everyone." And we need to think about that not only in school nutrition, but all of our own personal lives, and what can we do to include everyone? And I know that I reached out to SNA and told them that. That one speaker was probably the most impactful speaker I've heard from SNA ever. And when I say ever, I'm not mincing my words. I'm saying ever. And it brought a lot of the discussions to light that we need to start having. And we need to start looking around and including everyone and not excluding. And we're starting the conversations on a district level. We need to have those conversations more. Our student population is very diverse, but a lot of times when you look at the folks in our industry serving that diverse population, we're not diverse, both in skin color, in looking at our perspectives, in looking at our religion, looking at any one of those million different perspectives that we have, and we need to start looking more globally. And I know that's been a catchphrase over the past decade is looking at things globally, but truly we need to open up our minds, our hearts, and looking at including everyone, not excluding.
You know, that session with Joe, and it was, same thing. It was impactful, and what he does, what he did, and I've read some of his things, and he made you think beyond what you thought, if that makes any sense. And that was so. How do you transfer that to your staff? I mean, that upcoming year, that's going to be a big topic, I think, amongst people coming back to school besides COVID. And how do you translate that to your staff? What kind of tool? Because I've looked for tools. There's not a lot of tools available for child nutrition staff or that kind of thing that they're holistic but not specific. So what are you looking for your team, and how are you going to get that across to them? And what kind of advice would you give to other directors to do that?
Yeah, so it's putting yourself in other folks' shoes and trying to learn. And we're all in the K-12 industry, and yet sometimes we forget that we have to learn as well. It's not about learning in the classroom. It's about learning as professionals. No matter whether you're industry or the operator side, we have to learn. And part of that learning is learning about individuals. And when I say individuals, I'm truly meaning each individual and looking into asking them what are they comfortable with? What are they not comfortable with? What can we be doing to be more inclusive? One of my directors says that everyone has a story. And so what is each person's story? Because that frames their perspective. And there's a million different stories out there. So we have to really dial into what's going on. And I think to answer your question, we need to start training our staff to put themselves in other people's shoes, whether that's a student, whether it's a fellow employee. What does their life look like, and what is their perspective? And I think then, after we start learning some of those things, we can start changing and learning to adapt. But until then, we need to keep open minds. We need to continuously look at what's going on around us, and sometimes asking the question why. Why is this happening? And only then, I think, will we start to understand and start to come together as a community.
I read a really interesting book that you might find interesting. It's called Question Behind the Question. It's QBQ. And it that whole book is about that very thing. What is the question that's really being asked behind? What's the background? And I think you're exactly right. I think until we start thinking, putting ourselves in other people's shoes and beginning to try to understand them versus making them understand us, that's going to be the, I mean, obviously there's more, but that's the first step, is being empathetic. And realizing that it's just as important, more important actually, for me to understand you, Chris, than for me to try to make you understand me.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of social unrest right now because people don't feel as if they're being hurt, and we as a community and need to come together and listen, and not passive listening like we're used to, but active listening and finding out, to Bart's point, what are the questions behind the questions? And I think then we start to frame the discussion, but only then. We have to start listening, and we have to start putting ourselves in other people's shoes and looking at things from their perspective, and not what we think their perspective really is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And people
Absolutely.
don't understand how important it is to, there's a difference between hearing and listening and then striving to understand. And that those are actually, I hear you, I understand, I'm listening to you, but now I really, really want to understand. And that's the step that most people are just, nobody's incapable of making that. They're unwilling to take it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think we can, as a community, be better listeners and looking at perspective. We don't all have to agree at the end of the day, what the right answers are. And I don't think that we'll ever get to that point. But
Yeah.
we do need to listen. We do need to respect each other. And I think if we're having those national conversations right now, if we have those conversations on a micro level, it just helps. So it just helps make that national conversation just a little bit easier. But we need to have the conversation, and we need to start with that listening.
Isn't that where the difference starts? The difference starts on the micro level anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, that's a pretty close to our time here. Thank you, Chris, so much for being on the show. Is there anything in closing that you'd like to leave people with as we kind of part ways today?
Everything is uncertain right now. What the school year looks like, what life looks like. Everyone has a different perspective on what the next couple of months are going to look like. I will tell you this, that schools will open at some point, and we will serve students at some point, and we will make it work, and we're going to do it together. And just appreciate all the help and support from everyone in the food industry, no matter what where you're located or where you're working from or how we're communicating. It takes a village, and we will feed students whenever they come back to school, or if they're learning virtually, we're going to feed them one way or another.
Absolutely.
Well, Chris, I got to tell you, I appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you again soon at another SNA event. And I look forward to seeing more pictures of the world on your Facebook page. And I'm looking, but since you're a photographer, I'm looking for extraordinarily good pictures, by
Well, thank you. And I'll have to figure out what that next suit's going to look like.
way.
There
Exactly
you
right.
go. Well, gentlemen, thanks again for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Chris, best of luck in this upcoming year, and we hope to talk to you again very, very soon. Well, this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. I'm Wes Christian, your host, and we look forward to seeing you again next Friday at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care, everyone, and have a great weekend.